Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, the executive director. The headlines from the Middle East are confusing, so I need help. Jonathan, a very good morning to you. Hamas says it agrees to latest ceasefire proposal. I've learned to be very cautious about Hamas agreeing to anything. The interpretation here is that it's some of the hostages in exchange for all of the Gaza being liberated from Israeli occupation and other demands. The other part of this detail is that Hamas is under pressure from Qatar and Egypt. Is there anything new here, Jonathan, that we haven't heard before? Good day to you.
Good day, John. I think that there is perhaps something to work with here, that there is a desire on the part of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to get all of the hostages back. There, you may have seen that there was an extremely large protest that took place over the weekend in Tel Aviv, somewhere between 300,000 to 500,000 Israelis coming out into the streets demanding an end of the conflict for an exchange of the hostages. The prime minister did come out a few days before that saying that he was prepared to make a deal in which all of the hostages were handed over in exchange for potentially an end of the war. We're still hearing that this could be done in phases, which doesn't sound exactly like what Netanyahu was referring to when he said he was open to such a deal. But there is now discussion again. And I think that the fact that there is a discussion is meaningful. But I think, as we've seen in the past multiple times, just because they have agreed in principle to a draft of a deal, that does not mean that a deal is imminent. Much needs to happen. The Israeli Security Cabinet needs to approve it. Hamas's external and internal leadership, and their relationship is by far not certain. That needs to be brokered by the Qataris, possibly the Egyptians. There's a lot of complexity here, and so we're early hours into a possible deal that would require multiple steps forward in order for it to come into place.
About the demonstration in Tel Aviv and other cities, large numbers of people with candlelight, there was a report early on that money from the USAID went into sponsoring some of the rallies against the Netanyahu government. Is that story confirmed, and is that past history? Has nothing to do with these present protests?
I don't believe it has anything to do with the present protests. There were indications that some money had gone to certain groups that ended up protesting, which is not the same as money that was deliberately fueling the protests. However, I think that it's fair enough to say that a number of these groups were anti the Netanyahu government, and that USAID was supporting groups that were opposed to the policies of the current government and were not afraid to express them. But I think right now, this is a pretty natural consequence of nearly 2 years of war, John. And I think it's important to understand this, that for Israel, a small country that was at war on 7 different fronts, at war with Iran, with massive numbers of ballistic missiles coming in just a few months ago, where they have seen fallen soldiers, where they have seen hostages being held, people slaughtered on the day of the attacks of October 7th. This is a country that's gone through some trauma, and it's a country that I think would like that trauma to end by and large. You know, consistently, something like 70% of Israelis have been saying, and I think the number's even higher right now, that they want the war to end. The big question, really, John, is whether the war can end on the right terms. In other words, Israel has laid out two objectives primarily. One is to defeat Hamas. The other one is to return the hostages. I have long contended that it is exceedingly difficult to do both. If you get the hostages back, you have, by definition, conceded certain things to Hamas. You've probably released more of their fighters and maybe agreed to leave the Gaza Strip. That is, I think, going to be a natural consequence of any deal that occurs. So, you know, trying to accomplish both, defeat Hamas and release the hostages, Israel just may not have all the cards necessary in order to get that to happen. They could defeat Hamas, by the way, but in doing so, they will incur the wrath of the international community. We continue to see the leaders of Denmark and Australia and Great Britain and France and many others slamming Israel for its continuation of this war. So Netanyahu right now is feeling it both from the domestic pressure as well as the international diplomatic pressure. And I think his own clock is probably going off right now, telling him that perhaps this war has gone on a bit long. The question is, how end it on the right terms for Israel? That does appear to be his greatest challenge at the moment.
One more puzzle for me. Qatar and Egypt, are those allies? Do they work together or are these separate pressures on Hamas?
Well, it's interesting. They are not allies. These are two countries that, at least as we understand it, don't see eye to eye as relates to the Muslim Brotherhood. The Qataris are the primary sponsor of political Islam in the Middle East. The Egyptians are sour on that. That was Sisi's position upon ascending to leadership after the Arab Spring in Egypt, and he's been anti-Muslim Brotherhood ever since. My understanding is that very recently the Egyptians had come to the conclusion that they could not work with Hamas any longer. My understanding is that the Turkish foreign minister, Hakan Fidan, flew to Egypt, sat with the Egyptian leadership, convinced them that they could not or should not give up on Hamas making a deal with Israel. They were encouraging Egypt to assume a leadership role. Egypt acquiesced. They played that role. And now we see the Egyptians and the Qataris actively engaged one more time. This does feel to me, John, like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I am not sanguine about an outcome here. However, I think that the Trump administration and much of the Middle East, they support this process. I tend to think that it leads to more disappointment and ultimately more agreements that undermine Israel's security position, because the Qataris wouldn't broker a deal if it didn't achieve that end.
One more puzzle. Where is the Hamas leadership that's making this offer? Is it living in hotels in Doha and Cairo? Is it in hotels in Istanbul, the Muslim Brotherhood? Where are these leaders, and are they at risk, or are they just sitting around moving chess pieces?
Well, I think that one is absolutely at risk, and that is Izzeddin al-Haddad. That is the head of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. He took over from the Sinwar brothers, Yahya and then Muhammad, who have both met a fiery death. They've now been replaced by this new individual. We don't know much about him, but he's making the decisions from the ground in Gaza. He inherited this war. He did not plan it. So it's an interesting wild card, if you will. And then you have Khalil al-Hayya. He is Qatar-based, as I understand it. He's one of the political figures that is in charge of Hamas's external operations. There are individuals that are based in Lebanon, Iran, and Turkey. Exactly the matrix, the constellation of those leaders that are making these decisions, brokered by the Qataris, not clear to me, although I would say that the Mossad is very likely tracking a number of them. We've not seen any targeted assassinations lately, but that doesn't mean that Israel won't go back to them. My understanding is the Mossad is fully empowered to begin to track them, if not dispatch with them.
And Gaza, these headlines from Canberra, Australia, from Paris, France, other capitals, giving an opinion of what should happen in Gaza. Are those profound changes in international relations, or are we just seeing hot headlines?
I think we're seeing hot headlines, but I also think we're seeing an international community, John, that is tired of this war. This war, again, you know, 2 years long, where it has dominated the headlines. There have been uncomfortable things that world leaders have been watching. I have to see here that they didn't seem as uncomfortable with the slaughter of October 7th. They didn't seem as uncomfortable with the killing and mistreatment of those hostages who are at the core of this conflict. Had those hostages not been taken, or have they been released early on, I'm fairly certain this war would have ended a long time ago. The world leaders don't seem particularly concerned about the suffering Israelis. They have been more concerned about these photos of people in Gaza purportedly suffering from famine. I think a lot of that has been questioned, maybe not debunked, but I think important questions have been raised about the veracity of the conditions that have been reported. But these are all things that world leaders are not impervious to, especially as they contend with their Muslim population, their left-leaning populations in their home countries. They're grappling with this. And so we're seeing the pressure begin to reach the capitals of Australia and France and UK and others. And that pressure is then being dealt forward to Mr. Netanyahu, who's feeling it. He's firing back at some of these leaders. He's snarling at them in some cases. But I don't know if it changes the overall environment for him, which is pressure domestically, pressure internationally to find a way to end the war. And there are no easy answers right now. It really does look like a Gordian knot for Mr. Netanyahu.
Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director of Foundation for Defense of Democracies. We're headed to Beirut and Tehran.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.